Now, Dan Gordon is leaving as head of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, and as the search begins for a replacement, acquisition pros are looking at what a new OFPP administrator should be prepared for. Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and he's also host of Off the Shelf every Tuesday morning at 10 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And he's here to talk about what Dan Gordon leaves behind and what the next OFPP administrator will find. Roger, good to talk to you. Nice to see you at the awards dinner last week. I appreciate it.
Well, Francis, thanks for having me on, and I'm glad you could make it to dinner. It was a wonderful night.
And said Dan Gordon was there, and as I mentioned in the last hour, talking about Mythbusters, right? I mean, we didn't know at that point, obviously, last Wednesday that he was going to be leaving, but still out there making the pitch for Mythbusters.
Yeah, well, and I guess it would have overshadowed the event, maybe not.
Maybe so.
If he had announced while he was speaking to the audience, Dan, one of the thing that I think that Dan has done most in a positive manner for the procurement system is that Mythbusters campaign and the openness and the willingness to listen to all stakeholders on, you know, procurement issues, procurement regulations, statutes, how they should be implemented or not, and you know, that thoughtful approach and engaging in conversation, you know, ultimately it benefits all of us in the procurement community, and I believe it ultimately benefits the taxpayer as well.
The cultural part of it, though, in the procurement community is what's really tough, and especially, I guess, on the agency side, where a lot of folks at least have a little bit of cover in between, you know, the level of OFPP and wherever they are, to be able to say, well, yeah, we know that's in the FAR that we can do this or that or the other thing that Dan's talking about, but this is the way we've always done it, and it's easier / more safe / whatever else, whatever other excuse you want to put in there, to keep doing things the way we've been doing things. Do you get a sense that Mythbusters has eaten away at that a little bit, has changed some minds a little bit?
Yes, I do. And you know, I, as someone who worked in the government for 20 years, and then I've been in the private sector now for the last 5 years, you know, I can attest to the importance of communication, especially in the requirements development phase. The government, you know, needs to be able to talk to industry about what it wants to buy, to get a better understanding of, you know, where the issues are, where the risks are, and really to get a better understanding what's out there in the commercial marketplace. So I do think, Dan's outreach, both, you know, to the private sector, but also internally, talking to the agencies, you know, one of the things I think he did that was wonderful was reinstitute the frontline forum where acquisition professionals from across the government would come in and be able to sit down with him and talk about issues they're facing. You know, that's again an opportunity for him to also talk about the importance of communication. And I do feel a sense that, that the idea of talking to industry is not, you know, not as frowned upon, I guess, so to speak, as it has been in the past. And I know there's some agencies that do a lot of outreach to the private sector, GSA in particular, as a central buying agency. It does do a lot with regard to communication with agencies, and I think just sort of in fostered, you know, further efforts through, you know, through other avenues to try to communicate better with regard to the procurement system.
Now, somebody coming in behind him, this is kind of like the government's version of Tony La Russa, because I can't think of anybody who's saying anything bad about him, and I can't find anybody who said, well, he came up short in one particular area or another, and yet somebody will have to go in there and do that job, whether it's a long-term acting because we're so close to the election, or whether somebody will be willing to take it on for a short, what could be potentially a short period of time, is hard to say at this point. But somebody's got to follow that act. What kind of a person do you think goes into that slot and finds success, either what their experience is like or where they're coming from, government versus private sector or whatever?
Well, first, let's just, Francis, I would use the Terry Francona as a Red Sox fan. Okay?
Oh, man. I used to like you, Roger, till I found out you're a Red Sox fan.
Well, you know, number one, I think it's imperative that the person who who's going to step into the position has to have, you know, a good understanding of the procurement process. Ideally, it's someone who would be someone who has worked both in government and industry, so they understand, you know, both sides of the ledger. You know, one of the things that I learned from my time at GSA and then going to the private sector is really how, you know, regulatory changes and uncertainty in that area impact the private sector and actually do increase costs. So fundamentally, they've got to have a good understanding of procurement and where that goes. And ideally, it's obviously important that it's someone is with a political background that will have the ear of, you know, the colleagues at the political level at OMB to be able to, you know, talk about, you know, different ideas that people come up with and, well, does it really make sense in a procurement, context, the ability to have those type of conversations with their peers or with their bosses, with the person's boss is going to be a vital aspect of the portfolio that person brings as well.
Roger, always appreciate having your insight, and always catch Off the Shelf every Tuesday morning at 10, and I appreciate you being on this afternoon.